Today, Barclays Bank announced the layoff of 3,000 employees by the end of the year. That's just the latest in a string of major job cuts at international financial companies. But Barclays points the finger at government regulations, claiming they caused the bank to absorb profit losses and fire workers. This as Goldman Sachs loses $850 million from a major London-based hedge fund investor, admitting its fear of the unfriendly business environment in the United States. Here now to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business anchor and my colleague Liz Claman, radio host Nancy Skinner, and Anthony Randazzo, Reason Foundation Director of Economic Research. Anthony, are you surprised of layoffs of this magnitude and losses of this nature in a regulatory atmosphere that Washington has visited upon us now?
Well, not particularly. I mean, the entire goal of the Dodd-Frank Act in the first place was to limit the activities of financial institutions. The language of those people who supported the Dodd-Frank Act was that Wall Street firms were making too much money. They had too big of bonuses, and they were trying to put in place rules that would restrict business activities. I mean, that's the goal. And so if you're restricting business activities and you're decreasing profit, what's going to happen is you're going to wind up laying off workers. You don't have enough money to pay everybody you had before.
Nancy, are these the unintended consequences of regulating the free market, or does the government want these people out of work?
You know what? These aren't the intended consequences, Just. And I don't think there is going to be any kind of candlelight vigil for the hedge fund managers who used our money to gamble in this market. This is exactly what Dodd-Frank was meant to do, to prevent this from happening again. And that's frankly what they did. They gambled many times over, not even knowing who originated loans, credit default swaps, and they fixed it. And, you know, of course, that's 1,000 jobs. 8 million people lost their jobs in this recession.
All right. Do you get the impression, Liz Claman, that this is a sign of things to come?
Okay, first of all, let's get something straight.
I know you're not upset about some of these people because they're wealthy people.
Hedge funds didn't cause this crisis. Big financial institutions did. Everybody knows that.
Right.
And a guy like Bob Diamond, who runs Barclays, actually hasn't in the past really blamed regulation. In fact, he was the one who said, okay, we should have higher capital requirements, meaning more cash on the books in case something like this happens. The rest of these guys, whether it's AIG, Goldman Sachs, boo-hoo. I am sorry. I'm not going to feel sorry for them.
Shouldn't
the overregulation, which we did get, there's too much of it, is their fault because they took the risks and
unwound the
system.
Shouldn't the government take into account not the unintended consequences, but the likely consequences of its regulations when, in a time of high unemployment, it causes thousands to lose their jobs?
Consider the cost of not regulating, and we saw that cost, Judge. We see millions of people unemployed, but I would say that the guy they put in charge of regulating the credit default swaps that Nancy talked about is a former Goldman Sachs guy, Gary Gensler, and he's looking at this and saying, It's something that they want to do. Is it too much? I personally think in some levels it is, but too bad. It's their fault.
Anthony, put aside the revolving door between the government and Goldman Sachs and Goldman Sachs and the government. Is the free market dead? Is there anything free left about it, meaning free from government regulation? Or is that just something we would laugh at today as some quaint event that existed before FDR?
I think on a lot of levels it is a little bit of something to chuckle at, but we've had a mixed economy for a long time, and particularly a mixed market. The key thing to pay attention to here is if Wall Street firms screwed up during the bubble, which a lot of them did, they should have suffered the consequences and had people lose their business in the same way Lehman did. You go bankrupt. We shouldn't have, after the fact, a series of regulations put in place, so tightening the screws on the particular types of business activities that regulators want to happen, causing people to lose their jobs.
Skinner.
That's the wrong way to go about fixing this.
Skinner, I'm not even going to ask you a question. Just say what you want to say. I see you're ready to explode.
Here's the problem with
what
he just
said. What's the problem?
Because with the, you know, now you have proprietary trading. You had the banks merging with insurance companies and financial institutions.
Right.
So they were doing all this proprietary. Now, so what happens is that all of us are on the line for their gambles. So if a few businesses went out of business, that I would agree with all your guests.
And they're
but
getting
no,
record
we have,
bonuses, Judge.
FDIC. It's all of our, all our money's on the line. The banking system's on the line. When you do proprietary, it's like being a bookie, knowing both sides of the line, and then making your own bet.
All right, let's.
How does that work out?
I want to switch gears because this is another one of Nancy's favorite topics. It's taxes. Did you know that 18.4 cents of every gallon of gasoline you put into your car goes to the federal government, supposedly for the upkeep of our highways? But that could change after September 30th. when the federal gas tax is due to expire, like the debt ceiling. This has always been a routine vote on Capitol Hill. But for this Congress, nothing is routine. Nancy, to you first. Will the Republicans in the House of Representatives let this gas tax die? Will they vote to keep it? Will they vote to increase it?
Judge, as a libertarian, you should love this tax. It's a user fee, okay? The more you drive, the more you have to spend to repair those roads or build new roads, okay? That's exactly how it should be. It's not in any budget, and so people who don't drive don't pay that tax. You're going to stick it in the Department of Transportation budget? No. And guess what? Even if they removed it, the oil companies would suck that money you'd be paying the same money.
Thank you. Except, Anthony, that's not the way it works. The money goes to the federal treasury. The states repair the federal highways, and the feds get to spend that money however they want. Am I right?
Yeah, well, okay, so this could be a user fee, but it's not a user fee. We've had to bail out the National Highway Trust Fund to the tune of $15 billion over the past couple years. The money that is collected on gas taxes goes to pay for transit. It goes to pay for bus lines. It goes to pay for bike lanes. It goes to pay for all sorts of roads and states. We wouldn't have to have a gas tax at all. We can have a user fee. It's called tolls on highways. We have them all over the country. And if you want to drive on a road, then you pay to drive on the road. If we are going to have a gas tax, though, we should use that money just for federal highways. It shouldn't go to the states for them to spend on all their other roads, and it shouldn't go to non-driver things like bike lanes and for transit.
What good would come about if there were no tax and a gallon of gas went down by 18.4 cents?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know, Judge, but I think that when this thing expires, you will see a battle, but there isn't a single politician on either side of the aisle who will push for this thing to go higher in these economic times.
Will they, in your view, Liz Claman, push to keep it or push to get rid of it? Because it expires, so it requires an affirmative vote to reinstate it, either at 18.4 or at some other number.
I'd say status quo, because of course people might argue whether it's correct or not that if you eliminate this gas tax, there goes the money to create the roads and there go jobs for construction and road work. So ideally, who knows what will happen, but I doubt that there is a single politician who wants it on their resume that they raise the gas tax.
Nancy, we have 15 seconds left. Does the gas tax stay or does it go?
It stays completely because there's something in the economics is called elasticity. How much will a consumer pay for an item? With gas, we know they'll pay $4 a gallon. It's going to stay. It's going to build roads. I agree with Liz and everyone else. It's here to stay. So don't touch that one.
Nancy Skinner, Anthony Rendazzo, Liz Claman, it's a pleasure, guys. Thanks for joining us.